Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
God has given us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we want to do that this morning. Are we good? If we want God to bless us, then we should hold on to his covenants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Time will fail me to go into details. Was the message recorded on Wednesday? Okay, so avail yourself of the message. Praise the Lord. So you want to do that, please stand up with me. Rise to your feet. We are going to take these prayers together. And one of the things we also discovered is that when it comes to one of the things that brings covenant, the grammar is not working right now. One of the ways in which you can reinforce or reenact covenants is by sacrifice. This is something that I have not done before. And as a matter of fact, God has been impressing on my heart that we need to do it. Amen. That we need to do it. So I said on Wednesday, go back to God. Talk to him. Ask him, what sacrifice do you want me to bring before you? Psalm 50 verse 5 says, gather to me all my saints who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I shared the instance of a certain man who, you know, was going through some difficulties, some challenges. No, he was having a marital issue. Hello. And he had a difficult wife, very difficult wife. And somebody brought him, he accompanied someone who I was praying for. And that man said, pastor, please pray for him, see the issue. And I was trying to interpret someone, when he told me his condition, I was interpreting the consequence, the likely consequences of his situation. One of them would have meant financial collapse. He looked at me and laughed. He said, no, it's not possible. I said, no, we've been doing this thing long enough. By XYZ, this should happen. He said, sir, I have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. This thing may affect others, but it can't affect me. And when the man was walking away from me, he said, you can't come into the house of a man of God and come empty-handed. He put his hand in his pocket and squeezed something in my hand. The way I was trained is when they put something like that in your hand, you just put it in the pocket, continue your prayer, you don't look at it, so it does not influence you. And when he left, I put my hand into my pocket to see what was put inside it. It was $200. He said, I have made a covenant by sacrifice. Other things might be affected, but my finances cannot be affected. And God is saying that some of us need to do that. Like I said, go back to God. I don't impose fines. I tell you what I hear. I don't force you to obey, but I encourage you to do so. Are we good? Praise the Lord. So as a people, we want to renew our commitment to walk with God. Amen. So please say with me, thank you, precious Father, for the glorious covenant of the new creation and the inheritance I now have in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for all the covenant benefits that I have in Christ Jesus and your commitment to uphold them. I thank you, Father, for your covenant to always be my God and I one of your people. I thank you for your promise to be a father to me and I to be your son or daughter. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to dwell in us and to walk among us. Your covenant promise to make me great and to exceedingly multiply me. Your promise to make me exceedingly fruitful. I thank you, Father, because now that I'm in Christ, I am no longer estranged from the commonwealth of your people and the covenants of promise, as well as the glorious riches which are the inheritance of the saints. Therefore, Father, I renew my commitment to walk before you blamelessly and in obedience, to serve and worship you with all my heart, and to fulfill all that is expected of me. I commit my life into your hands this year to be lived out for your purposes and to see your kingdom established. I acknowledge that by strength shall no man prevail. Therefore, I draw power and strength from the Holy Spirit. I tap into the resources of your grace to fulfill all my covenant obligations. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. You will prosper. You will succeed. You will accomplish great things in the name of Jesus. By this time next year, or at the end of the year, when you look back, when you cast your mind back, you will indeed be grateful, because God would have been good to you and you would have accomplished great things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please hear me. I will keep saying it. Please set goals. Did you hear me? Set goals. Set goals. Take time to think, to plan and strategize, and write down the things you would like to achieve. See, one of the reasons success is far from many of us is we don't set goals. We have no specific aims for the year. Is someone with me? One of the things God told me, he says a year is a measure of time, and it is used to calculate achievements. So what will make 2025 meaningful is what you did with it. Am I communicating? It's what you did with it. If you go to the scriptures, and Adam lived so number of years, and he did this. Seth lived so number of years, and he did this. So the reason for years is to measure your achievements, to measure your accomplishments. So if at the end of 2025 you can't say this is what I did with 2025, you wasted it. You wasted life. And the only way that will happen, or that will not happen, is that you have set goals. Write them down. When you write them down, expound on them. Am I communicating? For example, I want to buy a car. Write it down. Don't let it be a pipe dream. I want to buy a car in 2025. What kind of car? What model of car? Hello? The next question will be, how will I buy the car? Hello? By the time you begin to sit down and think of how you buy the car, ideas will come. There are people who say, I want to be a millionaire, but they have never calculated how they'll become a millionaire. You can't be selling your pure water one a piece and become a millionaire. Jesus will come, you'll still be a cobonia. So write down, set goals, write it down, and then work out a plan. Amen. It will give you discipline, it will put order in your life, it will put structure. And periodically go back to that plan and say, okay, I plan to do X, Y, Z. How much of it did I accomplish? Is someone with me? If you don't do that, you'll just be binding spirits that don't have to be bound. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like we said, our theme for this year is your kingdom come. So we want to begin looking at, want to begin to understand what it means when it is said, your kingdom come. Amen. Now, by way of an introduction, allow me to begin by saying that there exists two opposing yet alternate spiritual kingdoms. I will repeat that statement. There exists two opposing yet alternate kingdoms. At times I'm tempted to say parallel. Amen. But when I checked up the meaning of the word parallel, some part of it agreed, some other part I didn't particularly agree with. Amen. So let's just stop with the opposing. So we have two opposing kingdoms that are alternate, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Amen. Now, what are these kingdoms? We have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, or the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is also referred to as the kingdom of heaven. Are we together? Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, the Lord Jesus says that if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. He says, how then will his kingdom stand? So by reason of that statement, Jesus infers that there is a satanic kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus acknowledges that Satan has a kingdom, that Satan is a king. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God, like I said, is also known as the kingdom of heaven, is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king. The kingdom of God is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king. I've talked about this before. Amen. Some of you were not there. But I need you to understand that even within this, our physical world, there is another world. Hello. Praise the Lord. And the truth is, that world is more real than this one. Amen. Amen. The Bible says those things which are invisible are eternal. Those things which are seen are temporary. So there is an invisible spiritual world. Amen. When the Bible talks about heavenly places, it's talking about a spirit realm. Now, in that spirit realm, there are two kingdoms. Are we together? The first is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The realm of the spirit where God rules as king. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God also extends to the realm of the fulfillment of God's will here on earth. How I'm communicating? That's why we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So for example, the church, amen, lives by the will of God, the word of God. The purpose of God is the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God is only found in the church currently. Praise the Lord. The earthly kingdom of God can only be found in the church. When I'm talking of the church, I'm talking of the body of believers. And not everybody who speaks in tongues or is a believer, but those who live by the will of God. Am I communicating? So the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is number one, the spiritual realm over which God superintends or reigns over as king. Praise the Lord. And that realm of the fulfillment of God's will here on earth. Praise the Lord. Let me use this. Amen. Can I have two volunteers? Just two people step forward quickly. I just want to use. Now, this is what we're saying. These are two people. Let's say he who is on my right lives absolutely by the will of God. The person on my left, not really. Let's assume he's not even born again for the purpose of this illustration. Okay? Now, not being born again and not living by the will of God, here the kingdom of God reigns. But here, another kingdom reigns. Am I communicating? Amen. So we say the kingdom of God is not just the spiritual realm, but the area, the realm in which God's will finds fulfillment on the earth. So you can, thank you very much. So you can have in one house both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. You can have husband and wife, one the kingdom of God and the other the kingdom of Satan. Am I communicating? So if the kingdom of God is the spiritual realm where God rules, and then that realm of fulfillment of God's will on the earth, the kingdom of Satan is that aspect of the realm of the spirits where Satan exercises dominion. Are we together? Praise the Lord. And then in every life where the will of God does not exist. Am I communicating? Let me give you one or two scriptures to help us get this. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. So the kingdom of Satan includes the realm of what? Demons, powers, and evil spirits. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in what? Heavenly places. Amen. Now that heavenly places is talking about the spirit realm. Okay? Now this confuses some people. They say, is God not supposed to be in heaven? Listen, there's more than one heaven. There is what? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. Amen. Paul said, I was caught in the third heavens. So if there's a third heaven, there is a first heaven, there is a second heaven. So we'll talk about the heavenly places where Satan rules. We are talking about the first heaven, the space between our atmospheric heaven and what we call the cosmic heaven. Are we good? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Give me Amplified Classic Edition quickly. I need to run. Amen. Ephesians 2:2. He says, in which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and the fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. You are following the prince of the power of the air. It says, you are obedient and under the control of what? that demon spirit that constantly walks in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. So natural man, amen, natural man is a subject to Satan's kingdom, is a slave in Satan's kingdom. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. By natural man, I mean the man who has not been regenerated, the man who is not born again. He might be in church, but amen, if he's not born again, then he is part of Satan's kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the truth is, these kingdoms both exert their influence upon the earth currently. Amen. As we get along, you will understand, you know, at times we sit down, we say, where is God when all these things are happening? There are a number of things we attribute to God that God has nothing to do with it. Praise the Lord. So both the kingdom of God has its influence on earth, and the kingdom of Satan has its influence. Truth be told, ultimately the kingdom of God will dominate. But presently, I need to be honest with you, the kingdom that rules this world is Satan's kingdom. Amen. God only rules within the church. Hallelujah. So we will say, if God is really, if God is in charge, why is there rape? Why is this? No, no, no. See, Adam committed high treason. Adam handed over the authority of this world to the devil. And you see, the Bible says the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. God gave it to Adam. God can't take it back until Adam's lease expires. So if Adam chose to give it to the devil, are we together? Praise the Lord. So both these kingdoms exercise or exert their influence upon the earth, and they are both seeking to have total dominance of the earth. Amen. It's important we understand some of these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, remember I said that these kingdoms, number one, they are opposing, but not only are they opposing, they are what? Alternate. Okay? By opposing, which means they are in conflict, they don't agree with each other. They are the direct opposite of one another. But listen to what I say mean when I say they are alternate. Now, the word alternate means to change from one to another. What am I saying? The way these things work is that the moment you step out of one kingdom, you are in the other. Hello? Hello? If I'm in the kingdom of God right now, and for some reason I choose not to walk with God, I'm already in Satan's kingdom. There's no midpoint. There is no... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. To exit from one kingdom is to belong to the other kingdom. They say, somebody say, I didn't walk away from God, I only stopped going to church. No. You've actually joined the devil. He who is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30. What you don't give to God, you've given it to the devil. Hallelujah. Are we together? So the moment a person walks away from the influence and the rule of God, of the kingdom of God, he or she automatically is brought under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. I'll give you an example. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, there are many examples I can give, many scriptures, but let's look at that. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Hello. And what happened? He says immediately an evil spirit. Now, even though that text says it's from the Lord, based on their limited understanding under the Old Testament, you see them, they'll be blaming God for things God didn't do. It took Jesus to open our eyes to the fact that there exists another kingdom which was dominated by Satan. Even when Satan was afflicting Job, the writers of the book of Job said it was fire from heaven. It was fire from the Lord, but the Bible tells us it was Satan. So he says an evil spirit came in. Is someone with me? So there's no vacuum. Please understand that there's no vacuum. Amen. There's no vacuum. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So as long as Satan continues to exert his influence and his control over a person's life that says he or she is born again, what it means is that the kingdom of God has not yet come in that life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The kingdom of God cannot come in my life. Now, when we talk about a kingdom, we are talking about a territory governed by a sovereign, a king. So if the kingdom of God has come in my life, it means my life is God's domain. And the only authority I bow to is God. The only ruling power is God. That's why you hear some people say that how can somebody be born again and still have demons? But what they fail to recognize, hello, is that it is one thing for Jesus to be Savior and another for Jesus to be Lord. We confess him as Lord and Savior, but we maintain him as Savior, but do not relate to him as Lord. The word Lord means owner. So we say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Then when it's not convenient, you pick it up again. So for many of us, we have confessed salvation, but Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not King. And because Jesus is not King, some other thing has become King in our life. Am I communicating? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, as long as Satan's influence and dominion is in your life as one who professes to be a child of God, what it means is that your salvation experience is not complete. I'll come to that. Amen. And then you do not have the full expression or experience of God's kingdom. Am I communicating? Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Amen. Revelation 12, verse 10. We are going to pray this morning. Amen. Because God's kingdom must come in your life. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now, hello, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have. Now, when has it come? He says, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been what? So as long as Satan has not been cast down, the kingdom has not come. Salvation might have been professed, but it has not come. Amen. performing born again, but you ain't saved. Say now. So before, something else was happening. So the full experience and expression of salvation does not come until satanic structures are brought down. So you might profess to know Christ, but Satan still maintains his demonic structures in your life. The kingdom has not yet arrived in your life. I never forget the day the Lord asked me a question. He said, is it possible for someone of whom I am Lord, truly Lord over his life, for something else to lord it over him? Can Jesus really be Lord over my life and immorality lords it over me? You see, we talk about God's grace, we talk about the power of his forgiveness, hello, but we forget about his power to transform us. You see, what Jesus came to do was not to secure forgiveness, because forgiveness existed before then. Those in the Old Testament secured some form of forgiveness by the blood of bulls and goats. What Jesus came to do that the old covenant could not give was a complete transformation, was victory over sin, the power to break the hold of sin and the devil of our lives. That's why he says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. So Jesus cannot be your Lord and sickness lord it over you. You will say no to it. In the same way, Jesus cannot be your Lord and poverty lords it over you. Are we together? So it says, now salvation has come. The kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. So where the kingdom is, the power of God is. He said, the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. Why? He says, because the accuser has been cast down. Hallelujah. Some people are looking at me strange. Okay. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. God's kingdom will come in your life, and his will be done in the name of Jesus. Cower it together. 1, 2. If by what happens? So the kingdom of God has only come where demonic power is broken. I don't know who did this to us, that told us that we can have the kingdom of God and remnants of Satan's kingdom, that we can be holding on to the devil and claiming to follow God. He said, no, it's gradually, small. We want to claim, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. But we are still keeping the same. See, if I, by the Spirit of God or by the finger of God, cast out devils, demons, he says, surely the kingdom of God has come. So when the kingdom of God comes, Satan has no expression. Is someone with me? The kingdom of God cannot come in your life and Satan still continue to have expression. Where the kingdom of God has come, Satan's dominion is ended. And I prophesy that not just today, but all year long, Satan no longer has the upper hand over you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Satan's hold over your marriage, over your health, over your finances is terminated in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 23, Matthew 4:23. Let's look at that quickly. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what follows it? Healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. So where the kingdom of God is, sickness cannot reign. Is someone hearing me? I used to be a very sickly person. Oh, very sickly. I was one time extremely sickly. Amen. But now I'm strong like a horse. Some of you, once the weather changes, your life changes. You will come out of it. You need to recognize that is another kingdom exercising dominion over you. God wants you healthy. God wants you strong. God wants you very, because he has work for you to do. Once the weather changes, your life changes. Every small flu, anytime they are sharing sickness, you collect your portion. He say, under the weather, I'm under the weather. What are you doing under? Be on top. Amen. So where the kingdom of God has come, sickness goes. I announce today in the name of Jesus, every kind of sickness, every kind of disease, every kind of affliction is terminated forever.
Amen.
Is terminated forever. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, there was a time I used to have this very terrible ulcer. Very terrible ulcer and food allergy. Hello. If by 12 I've not eaten, I'm in trouble. I can pass out. It was that bad. And then, you know, oil. I don't see it, I don't smell it. If they fry akara for junction, I go faint for here. I didn't say they are frying in the junction. Once that smell or the stew, you see oil, my eye begins to. But when I left that kingdom and I came into this kingdom, it disappeared. The ulcer went. Hello? Best we get ulcer the fast. Eh? Is it possible to fast? Amen. And by the grace of God, after the ulcer, I didn't go to any hospital. You should have fasted out of the ulcer. I use fasting to exit the altar, also. Some of you say, my stomach, if I don't eat at all, I'll be shaking. Shake, you won't die. That time I was in Redeemed, and they had 100 days fast. It was that 100 days fast that cured my ulcer. And after that fast, by the grace of God, I first went 3 days straight, no food. Then I went 7. Then I went 14. Then I was doing 21 and 28 every year, 3 times a year. Then I finally counted with 40. Not 6 to 6. 40 straight days, no food. Best way girls are not to try that kind of thing. Whatever that sickness is, in the name of Jesus, it shall be terminated.
Amen.
High blood pressure will give way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. That person with hernia, that hernia is gone.
Amen.
Fibro dissolves.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You can't be in this kingdom and continue being sick. He said, go and tell them the kingdom has come. And as proof that the kingdom has come, he said, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. When this kingdom comes, Satan goes. The two kingdoms cannot operate together. Hallelujah. So in the name that is above all names, every remnant of Satan's operations in your life shall dissolve in the name of Jesus. It shall be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Come on, say that amen like a believer. Luke chapter 10 verse 8 and 9. He said, whatever city you enter and they receive you, he said, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. I prophesy to someone, the kingdom of God has come into your life. So whatever is sick, whatever is non-functional in your life, it becomes healed in the name of Jesus. That's why I said this will be a year of the miraculous. Amen. There are those of you who you know, doctors have finished your money because you're always going there, but you will wake up one day to discover that that thing which they said there is no cure, you just bounce out of it. Come on, say amen like you believe it. May God give us faith. I was saying on crossover, I said the problem is that we have believed that everything is fake. They told you that there are no miracles. The people that say there are no miracles, they say they have no anointing for miracles. Now let me ask you a question. Can there be fake if there's no original? Who can give me fake 5,000 naira note? Is there fake 5,000 naira note? Is there fake 5,000? Is there fake 10,000? Why is there no fake 5,000? There's no original 5,000. So it can't be faked until there's an original. So if there is a fake, there's an original. And because they say some things are fake, does not mean all things are fake. Now, in healing ministry, in the miraculous ministry, there's something we call impartation, incubation, and manifestation. That is the process of miracles. So when hands are laid on you, you fall, you don't fall, there's an impartation. You get your miracle at that time or not, there's an impartation. Am I talking to somebody? Now, you must take that impartation and incubate it for there to be a manifestation. The problem is most times we don't incubate what we receive. So for example, I prophesy to you and I said, by this time next year you'll be a billionaire. I have spoken a word. The Bible says that God will carry the words of his servants to perform it. Hello. He says he follows the counsel. I don't think you get that. He performs the counsel of his servants, his messengers. So listen, let me tell you what it means. It means that I might not have heard God, but I can advise God to bless you. He says he performs the counsel. Counsel is advice. So if I look at you, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I might not have heard the prophetic word, but it aligns with scripture, and I say to you, you shall be blessed, you shall be increased. God has heard my advice to bless you, but he is waiting on you to incubate that word in faith. So you see, because the man was not vibrating and saying he's seeing vision, nothing has happened. No. You incubate it to get a manifestation. So there was this story about a young lady who was prayed for by the late Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you know Smith Wigglesworth? Apostle of faith. Raised more dead people than anybody. Even more than those in the Bible recorded. In Smith Wigglesworth's days, they're not the dial. You don't die near him, he will wake you up. As far as you are not old, you wake you up. To the point that when his wife passed on, as she was dying, she left instructions. Please tell Smith not to wake me up. The man came and woke up. And I begged her, please, I've seen that place. I want to go back. So Smith Wigglesworth prayed for this lady. He spoke on this process of healing. Okay? Mark 11, 22 to 24. Have faith in God. Whosoever believes, whosoever believes, or whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says, he shall have them. He said, therefore, when you pray, believe that you have received them. So he thought on this and he prayed for this woman. This woman had a goiter, a very large goiter. So he prayed for her, and the woman said, she believed she was healed. So Smith left that town and went away. The woman came to church the next Sunday after the meeting. Testimony time, she ran to the front. I want to testify. So they gave her the mic. And she got up and said, praise the Lord. She said, you guys, all of you are witnesses to the fact that when Brother Wigglesworth prayed for me, I was what? Miraculously and spectacularly healed of my goiter. And everybody looks at her like this. Wait till you carry for neck. Unfazed, she shared her testimony. She went. Next Sunday, she came out again. By this time, the thing don't grow. Praise the Lord, brethren. See, you all are witnesses to the fact that when Brother Wigglesworth prayed for me, I was spectacularly and miraculously healed. And people looked at her again. By the time she did it the third time, they told her, don't come back here. Hello? But she was undeterred. She got home, lifted up her hands and said, Lord, you know, and I know, that when Brother Wigglesworth prayed for me, I was spectacularly and miraculously healed. But they don't believe me. Can you help me convince them? Sister went to bed, slept, woke up, felt a bit strange, and saw the guy goiter on the floor. Touch here, nothing. No scar, no blood, no wound. Looked at the mirror, no goiter. Goiter was on the floor. So she picked it up and went to church and said, I've come to testify. He said, brethren, I told you that the day Brother Wigglesworth prayed for me, I was spectacularly and miraculously healed. You didn't believe me, but I believed. He said, here's the proof. You see, that you don't get up from the wheelchair when you are prayed for does not mean you have not been healed. All God is waiting for you is to incubate the impartation so that you can have a manifestation. In the same way, when God gives you a prophetic word that this time next year you'll be great, you'll be this, you'll be that, even if it has not happened, you must incubate it. Am I talking to somebody? The Bible says the word that has gone out of my mouth, it cannot return to me void. It must perform that which I sent it. It must accomplish the purpose for which I released it. And the Bible says that God's word does not expire. So even if it was spoken 30 years ago, that word is still viable. It can't go back to heaven because it can't return void. It can't expire because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words does not pass away. What am I saying? That word is still hanging around you, waiting for your incubation so that there can be a manifestation. So even if it was said 30 years ago, it can still come to pass. If it was said 40 years ago, it can still come to pass. All you need to do is pick it up, dust the prophecy, and choose to believe God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me round up. Hallelujah. I've gone out of course. Glory to God. So, you are healed. You are delivered. You are prospered. In the name of Jesus. You know, I said, there are some of you, you will just get up and you discover that that thing you have been struggling with, that thing you couldn't break out from, you just break out of it. The chains that held you all this way, you will break out of it. In the name of Jesus. Now, hear me. The only way a person can truly come out of Satan's dominion, of Satan's kingdom, is by turning to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Any man who has not come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, any man who has not been brought into the kingdom, you know, not just the kingdom of God in general, but the kingdom of his Son, has not escaped Satan's dominion. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his Son Jesus Christ. I saw the other day that some people were just, you know, there are people who talk about things they don't understand. That Pastor Adeboye said only Jesus is the only solution to mankind, and that's the truth. If you are not in Christ, you are in crisis. And I'm not talking of church. If you don't know Jesus, Satan owns you. God created all men, but not all men are his sons. He said, is God not all our father? No! As many that received them, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Even as many that believe in his name. So until a man is born again, he's a creature but not his son. The only way to end Satan's dominion is to come out of his kingdom. And the only way to come out of his kingdom is to surrender to Jesus. I'm not talking of church. It's to surrender to Jesus. Amen. I've always been a church boy. Amen. You know, some people say, I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. I was not born a Muslim or a pagan. I think only once I got close to a shrine. And that was because we went to visit grandma, who was a priestess. And she took us into the shrine and roasted chicken before the shrine. And gave us, and little children, we bobo the chicken. We did not know what we were eating. But I've always been a church boy. Amen. And I thought I knew Jesus. Until one day, is someone with me? If you are born in a Christian home, it does not make you a Christian. It makes you a church goer. Jesus was born in the manger. I didn't make him a donkey. If you are born in a bakery, you don't become a loaf of bread. Being born in a Christian home does not make you a child of God or a Christian. You must give your heart to Jesus. He says, how shall they, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how shall they call upon him who they have not heard about? And how can they hear of him if it has not been preached to them? So you must hear the message of salvation, believe in your heart the word of salvation, and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you may go to church, but you are still the devil's son or daughter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So how does this relate to the anointing service? Amen. Because today's anointing service, we have to come back home. Praise the Lord. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's someone under the sound of my voice. You have been having a migraine headache. The Lord said I should tell you to check yourself. Move your head. Shake it. The headache is gone. Is gone. Check it. That headache has troubled you. It has deprived you sleep. But I'm asked to tell you, after today, you will sleep like a baby. So how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the antidote to Satan's works is the anointing. Am I communicating? Isaiah 10:27 says, his yoke can only be taken off your neck and his burden off your shoulders, and that yoke destroyed only by the anointing. Amen. Prayer does wonders. Hello. But if that prayer does not end up in the release of the anointing, that prayer cannot deliver you from Satan's harassment. Amen. If the prayer does not stir up the anointing, now I'm not saying that somebody else must anoint you, because the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One. So if you can pray that anointing up, if you can stir up the fire, the gifts of God, fan it to flames that are inside you, you can break out of the yoke. So he says, it is the anointing that takes the yoke off your neck and the burden off your shoulders. And that's where you'll be anointed today. Hallelujah. Amen. I say you'll be anointed today. The anointing that is coming upon you is going to do three things. Is someone with me? Number one, it will take care of everything that is still hanging. Do you hear me? Number two, it will insulate you from things to come. He reproved kings for their sakes. He suffered no man to do them wrong, saying what? Touch not my... And number three, it will stir up the gift of God, the ability of God that is in you for exploits. Hallelujah. Number one, it would take care of satanic remnants. Number two, it will be like a vaccine. So you will receive Holy Ghost vaccination against satanic arrows and missiles. And number three, it will put power upon you.
Amen.
Because the Bible says they took oil. Samuel took oil, poured it on the head of Saul, and he said to him, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be commander? Then he now told him, he said, when you have gone from here, the Spirit of God will come upon you in power, and he will turn you into another man. Another you is coming out of this service in the name of Jesus. I say another you is rising out of this service. The same Samuel took a vial, a flask of oil, a horn of oil, and poured it upon the head of David. And the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him in power from that day. And David went on and became great, because the Lord of hosts was with him. Rise to your feet, we are going to pray. You are doing smell smell. Hallelujah. Did I preach to somebody this morning?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.